I am Shondell Wilhite, and I was once a victim of sexual and domestic abuse until one day I realized that I had a problem and decided to do something about it. Then I began to shine. I spoke out and got out of that toxic relationship. H helped myself. I ignited my own fire. N, I never looked back. And E, I evolved. I am the published author of my first book entitled The Reality Behind the Illusion. And I am making a difference through my truths and inspiring lives on how to defeat giants of sexual and domestic abuse. I changed my mind about being afraid and ashamed of my past, and instead now I embrace it so that I can reach out to others and let them know they are not alone and they too can shine.
Good evening. Welcome to Shine with Shondell. I am your host, Shondell Wilhite, and we have a great show lined up for you this evening. I hope that you guys are able to hear me. If you are, please give me a thumbs up in the chat, because I'm trying something new tonight. I have... Oh, great. Okay, good. I am in a different environment tonight. At a hospital setting, so I have to put on this headpiece tonight in order to do the show. But tonight, again, we're going to be talking about childhood trauma, and I have a beautiful guest with me tonight, and her name is Colleen Riley, who is the founder of Rise Above. And so I'm going to have her to tell us a little bit about herself here in just a second. But I just wanted to also let everyone know that we have 3 more weeks of Shine with Shondell, and then you can hear the podcast on demand only. So you can pull up Shine with Shondell on the Intentional Talk Radio Network, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever your platform of listening to podcasts will be, because you will be able to hear them on demand only after October the 3rd. So I wanted to put that out there. But tonight, let me go ahead and bring in Colleen. How are you this evening?
Hi, Shondell. I'm doing great. Thanks.
That is good. That's good. I'm so happy to have you with us here tonight. It was a great connection that our mutual friend and coach made with us this week, from Clubhouse to Facebook and now to on Shine with Shondell. So how about that? So what we're going to do is just learn a little bit more about you. So if you would just let us know where you're from and maybe a little fun fact about you.
Okay, well, I grew up in a small town in the Hudson Valley of New York. I'm about 100 miles north of New York City. Fun fact about me, I'm a very resourceful person. I once took a free trip to Hawaii. I ran a half marathon, raised over $5,000 for the stroke foundation, and they paid for the whole trip. I spent Hawaii in the weekend in Hawaii for free.
Oh my gosh! Now that's something that I would love to do, is have a free trip to Hawaii. I mean, yeah, it doesn't get any better than that, right?
Absolutely. No, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. It was a great trip. I was able to share it with my mother, which was great.
And so you say you ran a half marathon. Is that something that you've been wanting to do? Something to check off a bucket list of yours?
No, not really. I actually got into it when somebody in a group that I was in online, hey, I'm doing story. I found out I could go to Hawaii and said, well, so to check that off a bucket was just kind of perk, something that I can say that I'm proud of that I did. But it wasn't really much of a plan. I kind of got off the couch and did 13 and a half miles and surprised myself.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, because I can't even do a mile good without passing out. So, yeah, I would say that is commendable.
This was some time ago. I don't think I could do it again today.
Okay. We've been talking about childhood trauma for the last month or so. And I think it's just very important that we have these types of discussions because there are so many things that happen in our childhood that we are still dealing with in our adulthoods because we haven't directly pretty much dealt with it. And so in talking to my guest this last month or so about childhood trauma, it's just so much that we have to unpack and really kind of deal with directly so that we can begin to heal in our adult lives. Because as we have been hearing that these problems come up later on in life, and then we don't really know where they are coming from, where these behaviors are stemming from, and why. And so once we can really go back and explore our past and realize that there are things that has happened that we really do need to explore, to analyze, to sit and talk with someone about. And that way, we can start facing these things and really take it on. Colleen is going to also be sharing her story as far as childhood trauma. And we're going to just find out a little bit more about her. But what we have learned in the past, that a lot of those behaviors, the guests have decided that, you know, they wanted to do something different in their lives and not so much go through and take anyone else through that same kind of hurt that they dealt with in growing up. And so they took different approaches with it and going along with just finding the help and getting the help and really being able to find a higher power that can help them spiritually and to talk to someone, a counselor or a therapist, and help them mentally and just really deal with the things emotionally when it comes to all of these traumas. There's been, you know, child abuse. There has even been death talked about. There's just been seeing a lot of things that have gone on and really not understanding what it was all about, or not even really being able to do anything about it because they were children. So, you know, when you're a kid, you're taught to stay in a child's place. And so that's more or less what majority of them have been talking about. And they've all been men that we've talked to in the past month. And so we're going to be talking to Colleen as soon as we can get our connections and everything together. This happens from time to time, but we're going to get it all situated here. But
I'm hearing now. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we got you.
Is that better?
That is so much better.
Okay, great. Sorry about that.
No problem at all. I was just talking.
Like I said, I live in a small town, so there's I'm sort of in the outskirts. It can be tough sometimes with the Wi-Fi.
Gotcha. We understand that. We do understand it, but it's so much better. I was just talking through basically what we have to do when we have dealt with childhood trauma. And so what we'll do is just continue our conversation with you, Colleen, this evening about how you've overcome it and the great things that you are trying to do to help our community. And so, from your perspective, what was it like growing up for you?
That's an interesting question. The answer has and may continue to change over time. I mean, you know, if you'd asked me when I was a kid, I grew up in a house of domestic violence. And as a child, that was all that I knew. So it seemed normal. You know, it was hard, but it was the only thing that I knew. So it was just, that's life. And I accepted it for what it was. Abusers are so slick. They can be a completely different person in public than they are at home or in private. So when I saw similarities between other families and my own out in public, I just assumed that we had similarities back at home in private as well. And I just kind of thought that's how life was. Whenever I saw any, you know, father, daughter or familial relationships around me, if I went out to a public event or a restaurant, you know, people playing with their kids, laughing, showing affection, you know, that seemed normal. My father did all of those things out in public. And at home, I just assumed that, you know, when other fathers went home, they had that, you know, the same dark side that came out, that he didn't show in public, but was observed at home. You know, so it's like every parent has that look that they give when they know that the kids, you know, the kids are being bad. They're not going to say anything. They just give you that look and you know, whoa. You know, with my father, that meant that there was going to be hell to pay when we got home. You know, it may have been a spanking. It may have been, yelling, it may have been him taking out his aggressions on my mother for, you know, not keeping the kids in line. So, you know, watching that was even worse, I think, than getting a spanking. But again, seeing it through my own lens at the time, I thought it was all normal. You know, so I was probably nearly 30 years old when it struck me that, okay, I wasn't like everybody else. As normal as I had thought that it was. Mm-hmm. You know, there were little things throughout the years that I had seen that were different from how I lived, but I thought they were the exception to the norm. It wasn't until mine's graduation party that I realized I was the exception, that our family was the exception. I had ridden to this party with some friends, and we got there about maybe 10 minutes early. The graduate and her mother were there, nervous because her father had not come home yet with the cake for the party. When he arrived, he came home. He's had a beautiful cake. He was about 15 minutes late after the start time that was listed on the invitation. And somebody said, well, it's about time you showed up. And everybody had a good laugh except me. I was totally triggered by the comment. I had a severe fight or flight reaction.
My
anxiety just went through the roof. My heart was racing. My mind was looking for an escape route. And all of my muscles tensed up. I was ready to dodge whatever was about to start flying. My father was a narcissist. You never questioned him. You never criticized him without any serious repercussions, whether that was verbal or physical outbursts. A lot of the time it was both. So I was ready for the yelling, or something, throwing things or slamming of doors to start, but everyone around me was just laughing. And then the afternoon moved on without a hitch and we had a fabulous party. But that was the moment that I really realized that my childhood, and in fact, my whole life had been, you know, hadn't been normal at all, that I had pretty much a lot of significant problems due to the environment that I was raised in. I thought when I had moved out and away from the family and away from that environment,
I thought that I was free of it, but in that moment, it hit me that I was still very much in it, you know, in my own head. You know, and after that, as I said, I sought therapy, as you said, you know, we talked about a lot of people who have done that, and I do think it's necessary. But with what I discovered that day, I went and started therapy, and I spent years working through self-esteem issues, phobias, anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, hurt, anger. The issues just kind of seemed to go on and on. And many of them I didn't even realize that I had before.
And I think, you know, that everything that you're saying is so true with so many of us. And the fact that, you know, at that party, how much that triggered you just to hear that comment that was made and how tense you felt in that moment, because I can just imagine what that was like for you to hear that, you know. And when everybody was just like kind of laughing it off and you were like, well, wait a minute, this is different because I'm used to this kind of a reaction, you know, which was totally different than what they were giving you in that moment. And so I get that. I think that, you know, as children, like you say, you were really trying to process everything, and in your mind, normal was this certain kind of way, and that's just the way it was in everybody's household, as far as you were concerned. And so when you talk about, you know, just getting therapy to talk through your self-esteem and shame and all of the things that, you know, you realize you were dealing with, because it, like you say, it didn't come till much later on in life. So when do you remember the first time that you witnessed domestic violence in the home? Do you remember how old you were?
I'll never forget it. I was about 4 years old. I hadn't started school yet. My sister and I were playing in our bedroom upstairs above the kitchen. And while we had heard my parents arguing, and then all of a sudden we heard my mother screaming, these blood-curdling screams. It was absolutely terrifying. Her screams were just... I'd never heard that noise come out of her before. And my sister and I ran to the stairs and peeked over the banister to see our parents in the kitchen. My mother was bent over at the waist. My father had her by the back of her neck and was pouring a pot of steaming hot coffee on her head. Even 4 or 5 years later, I can still see it as if I was looking at it that day. I can tell you, her hair was still up in curlers from the night before. I could see her scalp turning bright red in between them. From the other end of the house, I could see the color change, and it was something I'll never forget. It was very, very frightening as a child.
I'm so sure. I mean, so traumatic, with you being so young to just witness something like that. And still to this day, you know, it really just kind of haunting you. Now, was there a point that your mom actually left the marriage, or did she, like, you know, because I know, like I say, I talk about it a lot, that there's a certain generation that believed in staying no matter what. And so was that the case in your household?
Yes, that was definitely my mother's generation. We had asked her more than once to leave. Why didn't she leave? And we were given many answers, but I made a vow and death do us part, and that's it. And even if he kills me, it's death do us part.
And that's
there 58 years, I believe, now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So do you have a relationship with your dad now?
I do. I'm pretty much the only one of the three, I believe, do actually have a relationship with him. It's strained, I guess. I respect him. He always provided for the family. Yeah. He was one of those guys who that was, he did that and that was his job and he was kind of done. So I have to respect him for that. And I don't hate him. I'm still angry with him because this is a learned behavior. I never met my grandfather. He died 15 years before I was born, but I know that he abused my grandmother because that has to be where my father learned this. And the fact that he made a decision, you know, he lived through all this trauma. He knew what it was like to be a child in this environment. And he made the choice that that was going to be what my childhood was, that I was going to go through all of those things, that I was going to feel all of those terrible feelings. So I have some anger at him. I'm trying to get to forgiveness, but it's hard.
Yeah.
But I also try to accept him for what he is. He served his country, he serves in his church. He's served in his community his whole life. So he's not a horrible person, but he has done some horrible things.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I do. Wow. You know, I read in your bio where you talked about you didn't want to have someone else controlling your life, just witnessing everything that you did as a young girl. And so when did you actually just come to that conclusion that, you know what, I'm not going to live my life like this? Because it is a choice. Like you say, you know, your father made a choice to be the way that he is. And so how did you go about choosing to be someone else and not have someone controlling your life?
I couldn't tell you at what age it was. I know I was very young when I decided that I was never getting married. I think that I viewed marriage as a trap or a prison. You know, that's why my mother stayed. She, well, they were married. Mm-hmm. You know, and my father treated my mother and all of us really, I think, as possessions rather than people. And that, you know, if you go back in time a little bit, not that far actually, where women were essentially sold to their husbands for, you know, for chickens and a goat or some kind of dowry or what have you. So it was almost like I could see almost where it was, you know, a selling of a possession or a contract of ownership, you know, to be married. And I didn't want that. I didn't want to be anybody's prisoner or slave, never mind being their legal property.
Wow. That's major, you know, just to even come to that thought process of viewing marriage as a trap or a prison or a contract of ownership. I don't think I've quite heard it from that perspective, but it makes sense, you know, considering everything that you experienced as a young child. And so I'm wondering then, do you even date? Do you have a desire to date, or what's dating like for you?
I have dated. I'm not seeing anyone right now, but I have dated in the past. It's historically been good, not good. It did carry a lot of things. Like I said, I was 30 by the time I realized how much I had been affected by this. Yeah. So a lot of early relationships were also affected by this in different ways. You know, what I thought a relationship was supposed to be, what it was supposed to look like, you know, what life even, you know, for someone to tell you they love you and then hit you or treat you like less than a person or put you down, you know, okay, but you love me. So there were some, I was never in an abusive relationship where someone hit me, but I was prone to manipulative relationships. and some financially abusive relationships. Mm-hmm. So things like that, where people who maybe saw me as a victim or saw the victim in me and took advantage of that.
Yeah. I can see that, because that's normally what those type of people prey on, and they tend to seek it out of the person that they then abuse. And it's just like, I used to think that I had letters on my forehead that just drew them to me.
It feels like it sometimes, absolutely. You know, I also had people who probably, you know, that were very good relationships that would have gone further had I not had the views of marriage, you know. Oh, you want to get married? Oh, no. You know, I'm stepping way back from that. So, not just relationships that were bad, but I have had some that were good that I have messed up because, or left because of the things that I experienced as a child in my view that were a result of that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, because I was just always wondering, like, will I ever trust in order to be in a full monogamous relationship? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is hard. That's probably the hardest part, that, you know, you kind of know what's out there.
I always have that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And, you know, I know that there are good people in the world, but just because they're good people doesn't mean that they don't have bad behavior patterns.
Right.
That's two totally different things.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm really learning, that those are two totally different things. So tell me about your vision to help women that have been impacted by domestic violence.
Well, my vision is to help women on a lot of fronts, to help them become more self-sufficient. As I said, my mother had given various reasons to us when we asked her why she stayed, one of which was she was afraid she wouldn't be able to support us. She wouldn't be able to give us everything that we needed and that we wanted. And financial dependence is a very popular excuse for women not only to stay in abusive relationships, but also to return to them. It's one of the top reasons they will go back to an abuser, because they don't feel like they can make it on their own, or they don't know how to. So they don't believe that they can. And I want to help women see that they can provide for their families without having to endure the mistreatment that they have in the past, and that there's no reason to go back to that. Part of that is the financial part of it. And also there's physiological, psychological, and emotional aspects. So there's a lot of it to unpack and address. It takes a long time to do that. So my vision summarily is to teach women how to be self-sufficient so they can choose a partner who is good to them, rather than getting with someone or getting with anyone just because they can pay the bills and meet other needs that she can't meet herself, that maybe were never taught to her. You know, as far as we've come in the battle for equality, the fact remains that many women are not paid equally for, you know, equal pay for equal work. They're only making about 75% of what men do. And little girls are also still steered away from what are, you know, traditionally masculine pursuits, like home repair or auto maintenance and things like that, whether they're looking at it as a career option, a hobby, or just a necessary life skill to have. Over the years, I've learned a lot of these skills in addition to finding ways to support myself. And I intend to share those things that I've learned and that knowledge, and creating a series of courses and tools and resources to help women not only financially support their family, but also build, build skills like home maintenance, basic auto maintenance, gardening and canning, to help ease the financial burden of feeding the family. in addition to that, I have want to collaborate with mental health professionals to provide resources for women to deal with the emotional and psychological aspects of surviving abuse. You know, this is really important because we can't provide the best for ourselves or for families if we are not the best version of ourselves. So addressing the anxiety, the depression, everything that comes with it is also very, very important. And I don't want to help them just to simply survive what they've endured, but I want to help them thrive in the life and live the best life that they possibly can. It's going to take a lot of work in many areas. So I've got a lot of different things that I'm doing to try to help the entire person rather than just one aspect or another.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the way you're going about it is excellent, because we're talking, like you're saying, homemaking, gardening, canning. I can remember my big mama back in the day, and that's what they did. You know, they did a lot of canning, and we never went without food. You know, we always had food. And mm-hmm. the fact that you, if you have that skill and you can grow your fruits and vegetables in your garden, and then you use what you have and you start canning, the skill of canning and selling some of that stuff, then those are really simple ways to go about providing for your family. You know, and homemaking skills, and just being able to cook or clean or whatever, you know what I mean? And make money doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, doing so it for your own, and doing it as an income, as a side income, a little bit more, a little bit extra.
Those are,
or whatever.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's one of the number one reasons why women tend to stay in those abusive relationships, is because they have no means to support the family. If they leave right. with their children, they have no means of taking care of that child. And so most of the time, and all of the time, is for the kids, whether you stay or whether you leave. And that's what I've been hearing the most of, you know, because of the children, I stayed, or because of the children, I got out.
Yes, yes, a lot of the time.
So I just always say, yeah, and most of the time, that's the same answer that I get, and I get it. I get it. There's a lot of reasons why women stay, and not so much women, men as well. You know, you don't hear the cases as much as women, but men as well.
No, yeah, they're definitely out there. It definitely, men do get abused. I don't feel like I can speak to that as well, not being a man. That's why my focus is on
right.
men. You know, because they have a whole
Absolutely.
Different set of aspects and a whole different background. You know, boys don't cry, man up, and all of that that I'm not familiar with. I don't know anything about any men who are providing services
right.
to men. I would be certainly happy to collaborate and speak with you and brainstorm. But I just, my services for myself are for women. Again, just because that's where I'm coming from. That's where my experience and knowledge is. I can share.
Yeah, and mine too, because, like I say, our connection was made because of the fact that, you know, we are serving the same kind of people, which are women that have been impacted by domestic violence. And I just really think that it's so needed. It's still so much of it that we see every single day. I know that I do, and I still am right now That is the reason why I'm broadcasting from the hospital tonight, due to domestic violence. I have a relative that is fighting for her life. So it's just so needed. And I just really thank you for what you're doing to help women to really just be more self-sufficient. I think that was one of the things that I wanted myself is to be self-sufficient to where I didn't have to depend on anyone. And my mom, as a young girl, you know, taught me to be independent. And I think that was a blessing and a curse.
Yes, a little bit of both. A little bit of both,
oh,
for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't need anybody to backfire a little bit.
And so when you are talking about, you know, just helping women with their anxiety and their depression, what are some of the programs, or I heard you mention like courses or things that you're producing, creating that helps women with that when they're going about their healing?
Well, mental health is probably the most important thing. I do have resources that I'm going to actually post tonight in my Facebook group of National Center on Domestic Violence and other organizations that can help you to find low-cost or free mental health services, therapy, counseling, things like that, as well as some other online things that are available. But I think even that's probably the most important thing to address, but I don't believe that that can be addressed until you have the basics, your financial stability, your home covered. So the thing that I'm introducing tomorrow is I'm going to be offering a free guide to navigating temporary assistance programs through Rise Above, and I'm sorry, through the Facebook page. I don't have the website quite yet. But I know there's a stigma around accepting financial aid and asking for help. And women need to keep in mind that these are transitional programs. They're in a transitional state, which is temporary. That's why these programs are labeled temporary assistance. They were never intended to be a handout. It's a hand up, something to sustain you for a short time while you get the rest of it figured out. This guide is designed to help women to find and prepare and apply to these programs and get approved as fast as they can so that they can get through that process and then commit more of their time, energy, and thought towards getting into mental health and getting job training and things like that to move their life forward so that they can build the life that they want and they deserve.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just, it's so much to unpack. You know, first of all, you are somewhat neglecting yourself, your children, because you're in survival mode and you're trying to survive. And when you have those types of resources that can just help you to just at least be stable for a minute, then you can start thinking about, like you say, how to move your life forward in order for you to be able to support yourself and your family. And when we can get into these types of programs and actually get, you know, our mental health together, then we can start learning, you know, skill sets and, you know, things that are going to help us to financially be able to care for ourselves and our family as well. And so it's just so much that these ladies need in order to just, you know, get to a point to where mentally I could even function, because I remember, just being in that situation myself. I couldn't even think. I mean, I couldn't even think straight at all, you know. And so I think that this is a beautiful thing that you're doing. Tell me, when did now are you just launching Rise Above, or when did Rise Above come into play?
I am just launching it. I've been working on it for about 2 weeks. So this is, okay. It is very new. I do have, like I said, a lot of plans and ideas. I believe that I found my God purpose here, because they're just flowing and they're coming, and I've got some stuff coming, and I just, it's tough, kind of tough to keep up with. Opportunities are coming, the ideas are flowing, and just getting one thing after another produced is going to take some time, but getting it off the ground, I think even just the Facebook page, Facebook group that I started, and I started the Facebook group specifically before the website, because I also wanted to create a safe space for women to network and support each other on their journey to self-sufficiency. I think that's a big part of the reason that I started it that way, because it's interactive. It allows for the building of support networks and community, which a website just can't do. And users often isolate their victims. So having people around you that know what you're going through and can understand and care is huge. You know, there's so many women that you see on groups, in stories you read, in articles, even in the news, you know, things. I felt very alone. There was nobody I could talk to. There was nobody I could count on. People didn't understand. Mm-hmm. So having that sense of community, I think, is very helpful in, you know, somebody who's been through it before can help you with, you know, what's the next step? What's the direction? Because like you said, there's so much. You just don't know what to do. It's very overwhelming. So having that support, I think, is also very, very important. And so many women come out of their situation, you know, not feeling alone, but feeling like,
I totally agree with you on that because a partner and I have a support group on Facebook as well. And I'm so glad that you're starting one, or have started it, because it's so many women that need that support. And the more, you know, we build a community of support in that way, you know, the women really start to feel that, you know, they're not in this thing alone, and that somebody else can actually relate. Because there's so many people out here that's always, you know, I don't understand. I just don't understand domestic violence. Why don't they just do this? Or why don't they just do that? And, you know, if this was to happen to me, then I would just do this, or I would just do that. You don't know what you would do. And what I hate is that when people, I hate when people are so insensitive when it comes to this subject matter. If you don't know anything about it, just shut up and learn about it, so that you can help those that you know are going through it, you know? And when you have that community and that support to help you get through those things and talk it out, you know, you just never know what someone else did that helped them with their situation, that this lady can be, you know, feel the same, like, wow, you know, I can do this, or I can do that, you know. And so I really, really applaud you just getting all of this going, all of your ideas, and getting your group started, because trust me, the ladies are out there that need it.
I hope so. I feel very, you know, I hope they are, and I hope that they're not. It's terrible. I hate that anybody goes through this. But like you said, it's so important that we have that community, and we have people understand what's going on, because leaving an abusive situation is a huge and scary and overwhelming step.
Yes, it
and is. The healing's not a journey that you need to go on alone, and I don't think it's one that you should go on alone. Mm-hmm. You know, one step at a time, and just getting through one day at a time is easier, so much easier on any level, whether, you know, wherever you're coming from. If you have some moral support.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, unfortunately, there are so many women out there. You know, we hate to say that it is, but unfortunately, and the statistics, I believe, are just still wrong because they're just going by what's been reported.
Yes, and so many don't report.
Exactly. So many don't report. So the stats are still wrong when it comes to this whole thing. And, you know, the only thing we can do, we want to save the world. You know, you and I, we have the same passion. We have the same purpose and we want to save the world, but we can't do it. We can only do what we can do one person at a time. And I just feel mm-hmm. as though if you help one person, then your work didn't go in vain.
Absolutely.
And that's just what
Absolutely.
I believe. Yeah, that's just what I believe. I wanted you to just let us know, what message would you give to an adult that has been impacted by childhood trauma that has not dealt with it directly? What would you tell them?
I think I would probably say to anyone who's been impacted by trauma at any age, the same thing, you know, deal with it. And by that mean, yeah. I don't mean, you know, deal with it, get over it. I mean, get yeah. some counseling or therapy if you can. If it's cost prohibitive to do so at this time, at least start, you know, picking at those scabs and scars on your own, journaling, mm-hmm. start talking to somebody with a trusted friend or family member, mm-hmm. group somewhere, join a support group live in person, join a support group online, join your group on Facebook, my group on Facebook. There are other groups on Facebook. You know, just getting it out and getting it off your chest can be very, very helpful in the yeah. beginning to let go of the pain and the resulting issues and get yourself straightened out. You know, go to the internet, see if you can find free or low cost options. If you're on Medicaid, you can get free mental health services usually. Many therapists offer sliding scale pricing based on income for their low income clients or people who otherwise yeah. couldn't afford the services. So, you know, there's a lot of in-person and online support groups that you can find. If you can't find anything in your immediate area, you might find an online community, you know, that or a database or a channel that's going to meet your needs immediately mm-hmm. while you figure out how to pay for counseling or therapy or how to get help locally. You know, just take some kind of an action to help yourself to get better. Nothing's going to make this go away per se. Like I said, mm-hmm. you know, 45 years later, I still remember that incident with my mother and father in the coffee pot. It's always going Absolutely. To be with me. Yeah. But learning yeah. coping skills to handle it when things come up and when it does come back up at you makes it so much easier to deal with it and make your life better in ways that you may not even have considered.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I totally agree with you because we just feel like we could just deal with things in our own way. And obviously that way just does not work. It's just like insanity. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep getting the same results. And I just think that we should all do something different. If we really want to heal, if we really want to heal, do something different, you know? And I wanted to ask you also, do you have your Facebook group up and named to where we can find you in it?
Yes, absolutely. You can join my private Facebook group. It's called Rise Above. You can also send me an email at riseabovedv@protonmail.com. The group is private, so if you have safety concerns, there are... As I said, I'm dealing specifically with women, so there are no men in the group. If you have issues around that, if you have fears or what have you around men, the email is also Proton Mail is something that I just discovered, but it's an encrypted email, so So whatever we send back and forth, you can't, no, nobody can hack into it. Basically, nobody else can see what you're saying there. So if you have safety concerns, if you're worried about being found, I've tried to take that into account the best I can. I don't know if I can get a safe escape button on my Facebook group or not, but I am looking into that. But that email address, riseabovedv@protonmail.com, is also where you can request your free copy of the Navigating Temporary Assistance Programs Guide. That includes program descriptions for federal programs with links to find your local providers for them. There's also tips on speeding up the process and an appointment calendar to help keep you on track with your appointments and get you as quickly through the process and into a little bit of stability as quickly as possible.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that information. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and join your group, and I'm going to send you the information to join mine as well. And we can collaborate in that manner as well and just, you know, build a bigger community of support in what we're doing, because, you know, ultimately we just want these women to be able to be self-sufficient and to heal and to be able to thrive on their own. And, you know, eventually, you know, worry about getting a significant other, a spouse or whatever, because we always feel, well, I know me, I'm going to speak for myself, because I always thought that, well, if this one don't work, I'll just go get me another one and that one will work. It that don't work.
Yeah, no, you got to fit you and be right with yourself before you're going to find somebody to be right with you.
Exactly, exactly. My thought process was just all screwed up. And it was just, you know, like you say, that mental health and what we need to learn how to deal with and to cope with ourselves, with our mental health and getting ourselves stable. Because I always thought I could fix everybody else to be who I wanted them to be, you know. And I'm just like, okay, after a while, I'm sitting up really analyzing this situation, like, how can I do that when I can't even get my own life together?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And nobody's going to see you when you're damaged like that, and when you're broken, you can't really, your true self shine through. You can't, you know, you don't have that authenticity, which is what I think anyway makes people fall specifically for you, that they can't see who you really are underneath that damage, underneath the anxiety, the depression, and everything that comes with it. So in order to get yourself together and be your true self and present that, I think it is more where you're likely to find somebody who isn't looking for somebody to be something, but is looking for you and who you are and appreciates that about
you. Absolutely. Are you still in the New York area?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Our engineer is also saying that signal.org /EN is also an encrypted app that can be downloaded and used for safety purposes as well. So that's good information to know. So I'm going to take a picture of this and keep it for myself, because, you know, that's another thing that these ladies, they want to feel safe and feel as though they're in a safe community of people where they can share information, because it is very, very dangerous when you're in these types of situations and, you know, you're fearing for your life.
Yeah,
Lord,
absolutely.
Have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you do see stories where, you know, somebody's been found and found dead because they were found by an abuser who loved them. And it's really sad and it's really scary. And I do intend to, and so am trying my best to, you know, make sure that I don't facilitate that happening in any way.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, you know, we can only do what we can do. And I just thank God that we were able to connect with one another certainly won't be our last time chatting it up. And, you know, I have a summit coming up in a couple of weeks that I'm going to send you the information for as well. And see if we can just, you know, continue on the connection and the collaboration that we've made here, just on this call and through Sanja. So it has been a great interview. I really appreciate you accepting my invitation to come and talk with us tonight. And is there anything else that you want to tell us before we end this night?
No, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. It's been fun. I look forward to talking with you and working with you in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here on Shine with Shondell. Thank you guys for joining us, and join us again next week, same time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Have a great evening.